What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground here. Now, before we get started with the show, I just wanted to say a few words on behalf of PatriotUndergroundGold.com. We can all see very clearly, folks, that the fiat system is collapsing. As a matter of fact, Jim Willie and I discussed this in part two of our 10th conversation. As folks know, our previous conversation got cut off, so we did about 40 minutes to wrap it up. But we talked about this in some good detail tonight. Obviously, folks, it started with Silicon Valley Bank in terms of the public display or public revelations in terms of the insolvency of the system coming to the surface. And that really was foreshadowing what's to come. We've since seen regional banks be affected. Of course, we saw First Republic, which was the second largest bank failure in U.S. history. We also can see how the BRICS nations are all thriving due to their decision to back their currency with real tangible assets. That's what this is all about. Gold and silver, which, by the way, is constitutional money. So, folks, this is very clear what's happening here. This is a last-ditch effort by the enemy to prop up their economic control grid based upon confidence in the petrodollar. And all of their attempts are failing. A vast majority of the world, in terms of nation states and GDP, have already accepted that the fiat system is dead. And that very same fiat system, which is entangled with the fraudulent stock market, has a direct impact on all of us, especially in terms of our savings and our retirement assets. And so again, this presents all of us, the awakened, with a very important question. What are we going to do, and what actions can we take to secure what we've worked so hard to earn our entire lives as we're all preparing for this financial black swan event that we know is coming? And Jim and I talked about the treasury bonds in detail, and in tonight's episode, he goes even deeper in explaining why this is so key and how the downgrade of the U.S. debt could be the real trigger. Just a little teaser for the episode that you're about to watch. But folks, all of us know this is coming. All of you can sense it intuitively. And not only that, gold and silver prices are going to skyrocket once this happens. Now, once again, I'm not a financial advisor, but guess what? Jim Willie is a financial professional, and he has said the exact same thing. Not only him, but I've also had Dr. Scott Young on my show and other very prominent individuals who are all in agreement that this is an excellent opportunity to get ahead of the game and to protect your financial assets, your retirement savings in particular. And in fact, as far as gold and silver prices, they're already climbing. Of course, every day there's fluctuation, folks. But historically, we know that gold and silver always are great investments, and they always rise in times of economic distress. And that's exactly what we're experiencing right now. History is repeating itself. Of course, we're going into an entirely new era. But again, there are a lot of question marks surrounding it. Nobody really knows exactly how this is going to roll out, exactly what type of hits that we're liable to take along the way. And so my personal opinion, and it's shared by very prominent people in our community, is to roll over your assets into precious metal accounts. And that's exactly why I partnered with this company. PatriotUndergroundGold.com offers an opportunity to transfer the investments that either you or your financial planners have made on your behalf in the stock market. And by the way, virtually all financial planners, I think I've mentioned this before, are disincentivized from using your hard-earned money to invest in precious metals because they get a far higher commission by directing your assets to the rigged stock market game. So in order to remedy this, all you have to do is click that link in the description, fill out a few brief questions, and somebody from my team will contact you in a very short amount of time in order to facilitate the transfer of your wealth into assets that are not only going to be stable during this economic crisis, as gold and silver have always historically been, but that will also very likely skyrocket in value once the world finally wakes up to the illusion that all of us have already come to understand and accept. So PatriotUndergroundGold.com, folks, protect your wealth, roll over your 401k and IRA today. Don't waste any time because it is short and it is indeed of the essence. And I promise you, folks, I would not steer you wrong. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of the interview with Dr. Jim Willie. I'll be back soon with another report. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is June 4th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So tonight,
I'm very happy to bring you part two of interview number 10 with Dr. Jim Willey. As you'll recall, our last conversation got cut off just toward the end. We weren't able to get to all the topics or really kind of wrap things up. We went for about 50 or so minutes. So we thought today we'd get together and do exactly that. And the conversation, when it was interrupted, Jim, you were basically discussing your thoughts on the Wall Street banks in panic upon the high volume U.S. Treasury bond sales. So you were just about to go into some more depth with that. So take it from there. The floor is yours. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. I had an electrical power outage, and it caused all kinds of problems, even trying to reload. That happens. The issue is that a small sale, like, you know, $40 million of treasury bonds can go in the market and can get absorbed, maybe not so easily as it could have been 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago. They boast that the treasury bond market is the most liquid in the world. Well, it is, but it's experiencing trouble right now because the U.S. government debt has turned Ponzi. We go another $1 trillion every few months, 6 months. If you count the off-balance sheet items, even faster. So if there are, say, three or four countries or entities, like a sovereign wealth fund, which is common for the monarchies in the Persian Gulf, they don't have central bank Forex assets in reserve. They have sovereign wealth funds. They call them sovereign, but they're really royal wealth funds. And they get raided by the royals. They steal from them. But that's for another day. Anyway, if you have four central banks or sovereign wealth funds who suddenly sell 10, 15 or more billion dollars, it's going to cause a lot of problems. And it will involve the Federal Reserve as an adjunct arm to the Department of Treasury. What I'm saying is the Treasury will pick it up. The Treasury will soak it up, put it on their balance sheet, and manage it. What I'm saying is the Federal Reserve with the Treasury Department will create dollar swaps and send them in their local currency back to Korea or France or UAE or Qatar or whatever country. Mm-hmm. And it's been emphasized to me in the last several days that if there are dollar swaps in local currency, it might involve a bond haircut, which is essentially a characteristic of a bond default. But what I'm concerned about at this point, because we left off with this issue, is that if several central banks or sovereign wealth funds simultaneously dump 10 or more billion, you're going to have a panic on Wall Street. They're running the U.S. government. They're running the Department of Treasury ever since 9/11, 2001. They're going to be in a panic. And you can just imagine what they'd be going through. They'd be dithering and arguing with the other country, like the central bank. Let's just say central bank. Sovereign wealth funds are just royal central banks. Okay, they'd be arguing with the central bank from the foreign country. Okay, so you want Korean won, or you want euros. Okay, we can do that, but you got to take a haircut. Then there's an argument. It's not automatic that they take a haircut, but I think they would. I think they'd take a 20, 30% haircut. If they're selling 10 billion, they get 8 billion back in euros, 8 billion back in won.
Right. They can do a lot with that. Yeah.
They can do a lot with that, but these countries are going to be on the edge, Patrick, of being desperate to get rid of their treasury bonds.
Right.
They're doing it because they believe the treasuries are entering a default or are in a default. And I can guarantee you, if we're in a default, they will not tell us about it, because it would cause a firestorm of problems in the secondary bond market, where all kinds of other bonds depend on treasuries. But let's just focus on the panic for another minute or two. These countries will be demanding. The country will not be in a position or mood, that's better, mood to compromise. So they might actually threaten the United States. They might actually tell the United States, look, we're not going to export to your California ports unless you give us a good deal on these treasury bonds. We've been loyal treasury bond investors for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And now the United States wants to screw them. So there's going to be a lot of haggling. There's going to be a lot of panic. And I'm focusing on the lost attention and the panic. Just imagine that the Wall Street banks, Goldman Sachs in particular, Citibank also, are managing these countries that are dumping, the central banks that are dumping 10 or more billion dollars suddenly. And they might discover that they don't have enough staff to manage this. They might think, well, that won't happen, so we won't plan for it. Well, it does happen, so they're not planned for it. And now suddenly you've got more and more countries, and then the next day and the next day, another country wants to dump a large amount, and the Department of Treasury loses control. Now, here's where it gets interesting for me. Just my perspective. If the Treasury Department is overwhelmed, they might have difficulty managing derivative events. During all this, we might see a derivative event where a big loss takes place, or we see a big bank is asking for help so they don't have to admit a failure and they don't get the help quickly enough. It's just not timely enough. And they enter bankruptcy and have a public failure when the Fed, if not overwhelmed, and the Treasury, it's a tag team. If they weren't overwhelmed, they would have handled it. But suddenly Bank of America goes, boom! Okay, we have derivative accidents and we have bank failures that cannot be managed. Those are the risks, Patrick. Those are the risks.
Now we're talking about the big Wall Street banks, the Bank of America. Now, I don't remember, Jim, if you had said this before, but had you said that you thought that Bank of America was already undergoing bankruptcy behind the scenes?
Patrick, I said that all the major Wall Street banks are managing bankruptcy.
Okay.
For over a year. All of them are in bankruptcy. And by providing liquidity, they get out of the bankruptcy for the rest of the 24-hour period.
So you're saying that once the Treasury and the Fed are completely bogged down, they're not going to be able to bail them out.
They're not going to be able to manage the daily requirements to avoid failure by not meeting their daily or weekly requirements, and therefore they enter a failure. Now,
based on their derivative exposure primarily.
Well, yeah, but leverage bond portfolio too, and they're gigantic and they're really levered. That just means that they borrow five times as much money and buy five times as much treasury bonds. And then they have five times the losses when they go in reverse.
Gotcha.
But just quickly backtrack for a quick moment. The banks are all insolvent. Their debts and liabilities exceed their assets. So they're not marking to market. They're marking to maturity. And it's bullshit accounting. So they're in trouble. They're not able to manage their daily, weekly requirements. So they're getting bankruptcy aid to prevent failure. If the Fed and the Treasury are bogged down by more and more dumping of treasury bond by other central banks, they're not going to be able to manage the accidents and big holes that happen, like in Silicon Valley Bank. That required a lot of attention. And it wasn't just them, it was Signature. And then quickly it was First Republic. And now, right. Now I got a list of about 10 banks that are all in trouble. And you can tell the ones that are in trouble, Patrick, because they're going into these federal term lending facilities, a new facility that was created in response to Silicon Valley Bank. Now you've got a vestibule, a waiting room for the bank failures. They're showing themselves by borrowing from this particular Federal Reserve facility. It's something like bank term facility lending, you know, something like that. Just a stupid ass name. But what it means is they're broke and they're looking for a handout. So they don't have to admit that they're in failure. And they get the handout and they buy another few days. You know, maybe they buy 7 working days. Maybe they buy 3 working days. But if something else happens as a result of their suicidal bank hike, rate hikes, these are suicidal. They're guaranteeing the next bank failures. I'll tell you something weird, Patrick. I believe they're trying to control the demolition with the continuation of the rate hikes. I think they're trying to put most of them, the big regionals banks, under JP Morgan when JP Morgan is insolvent. So they're creating a super insolvent fascist bank. They believe that they can coordinate and localize the control. Okay. JP Morgan has already assumed and acquired 3 more banks. And they did it with lending from the Fed. They're taking borrowed money to acquire an insolvent bank when they themselves are insolvent. You cannot make this up for
a
final
chapter. So how
in
the world does that help them?
It helps them in political control. You're focused on solvency and bank function. I'm not. I'm focused on fascist control. More rules, credit scoring. Limits on withdrawals,
CBDC.
Forced movement into CBDC with a 20% tax or extortion, I call it.
So that's really what this super bank formation, this consolidation is all about.
I believe it's a big piece. It's never one thing and not another. It's a big piece. If I had to put numbers on it, I'd say it's like 2/3 for political fascist control, 1/3 for function. But look, what's the function? They're not lending anymore. When they become insolvent, they stop lending. And they've stopped lending to the big commercial mortgage holders. The big mortgage holder. I don't know if I told you this story, but a $150 million property in the central, middle, upper Midwest. It's the friend of a client of mine, the multi-million dollar guy. He's got a $50 million stake. With him and his partners, they have $100 million mortgage. They need to roll it over and they can't, and they're going to lose it.
Because nobody's lending.
And it's a conspiracy of not lending. They go to the other big bank across town or the other big bank in another big city in the same state. They're not lending either. They're all insolvent. And as a result, they're going after and targeting and stealing the major, what do you call it? I can't remember the prize properties. And this guy's in upper Midwest has one. And he said to his friend, they're going to take it. They're just going to swipe our $50 million stake. They're going to take it because we're going to be in default. We can't roll it over. Okay, commercial mortgages are different. If you have a personal residential mortgage, it tends to be 15, 20, 30 years.
Right.
With commercial, it's not. I'm told it's like 7 years. I cannot get really good, solid information. Pardon me, my nose tickles when I talk. I think they're like 7, 8, 10-year mortgages. So they have to roll them over and do them again because the business climate changes. You know, the economy in that area might change. You know, the water systems might change. Anything might change. Tax systems might change in the state. So they roll them over every 7 years because they're business, commercial mortgages. Anyway, that's going to be a big profit center for these regional banks that are assumed by JP Morgan. I believe JP Morgan is going to assume them, acquire them, lock them in, and shut down lending and confiscate property.
My goodness.
It's not about function and retaining solvency and good efficiency and professional lending standard. They acquired first, JP Morgan, acquired First Republic, laid off 1,000 people, and they're not lending. They're confiscating. Watch this become a major theme in the next few months. How can they do that? It's not legal. How can they do it? It is legal. What's not legal is the wink and the nod from the other banks that say, okay, all right, fine. We won't get in your way. Don't you get in our way when we do the same thing with other property? Because we got like an $80 million star plum property, prize property, and they got a third equity. And we're going to take that. We're not going to roll it over either. Okay, it's going to be a conspiracy of not rolling over commercial mortgages. Okay, I'm getting away from the theme of treasury bonds being dumped.
Okay. All right. You can go back
into
it.
Let me just go back to just with the final point. If they are taking haircuts, these holders of treasuries, and they're not getting 100 cents on the dollar, then they're selling into a default.
That's right. And for them, ultimately, if they're moving in the direction of the BRICS nations, the gold-backed currency, even though they're taking that haircut, that's still, even though it seems like, you know, we talked a lot about Japan last time, even though it seems like everything they're doing is counterintuitive, ultimately they're digging themselves out of a hole. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
In the long term?
The phrase is getting out from under.
Right.
Getting out from under a collapsing house. Okay, let me make a very sordid example. Your second floor and your roof caved in, you're in the living room, and part of your roof and chimney slammed against you and cut open the side of your face because you're bleeding in the side of your face. Now you realize I've got to get out of my house. And then something else falls and you're trapped. Then you make a conclusion. I'm willing to get out and save my life and lose my leg.
My goodness. And that's basically what it's come down to. For these,
I think so, yes.
For these foreign countries, unbelievable.
They're not going to become friendly. Let me put this differently. They're going to become more and more rude, obstinate, angry, and uncompromising. And I'll tell you something. We're likely to see threats given by the U.S. using our military as a threat against our allies. And that will further isolate us. I'll give you an example. I think I might have said this a few days ago before I got cut off, not by you, but by electricity. It's possible that the Koreans will say, we don't like that deal. We don't want 60 cents on the dollar. We want 80 minimum. And then they get into an argument and the U.S. says, look, take 60 or we're going to do naval exercises off your coast, assholes.
Right.
Okay. I've been
That's
saying
the real
for a long
backing
time,
of the dollar is the military.
Military backing the dollar. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Jim. I know we're not going to go for too much longer. This is kind of just intended to wrap things up. But one of the other things that I was curious about, we touched upon a little bit in our previous conversation, was the downgrading of the U.S. debt. And you had said to me in an email that you had indicated that might be the reset. And I was kind of curious to elaborate
on that a little bit. That was the zinger, Patrick. That was the zinger.
Oh, okay.
The reset might actually be the gigantic event of the U.S. dollar. I'm sorry, U.S. Treasury bond downgrade. Now, just think, how many financial organizations have the U.S. Treasury bond as their collateral on whatever?
A lot.
Lots.
I mean,
Right.
I don't presume
it's
to
so
know
diverse.
How many, but yeah.
I couldn't give you a number. It's all over the terrain.
Right.
Okay. There might be a corporate bond that gets issued, and in the internal management for that company, like say General Electric or IBM or whatever, they've got their corporate bond, but then they do leveraging with an arbitrage with the basis of the treasury bond. You think that's rare? Think again. They call it managing the spread instead of managing the risk. Then they care about what's the difference between the IBM corporate bond yield and the U.S. government treasury bond yield. And if they're all AAA, then everything's coochie-coo. But if the basis of all kinds of structures, including pensions and insurance companies, if the structure has a basis of treasury bonds and they get downgraded, okay, here's the rub, and here's the paradoxical twist. They will have to buy more treasuries. They won't be dumping treasuries. They'll be buying more because they will have insufficient collateral. They use the treasury as collateral. Now they've got insufficient. So they need more of it. I'm yelling. Sorry.
That's okay.
This is very exciting because this is financial war, and it's kind of like the U.S. military weapon depot blowing up on the inside from rot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another example. The Chinese have bought, I have heard estimates of like 200 office buildings, commercial buildings in the United States in at least 20 US cities. They own about 200 buildings and it's under shells. So it might be a Swiss or Luxembourg company or Caribbean shell. The Chinese have bought, let's just say oodles. I love that word. Oodles, dozens, oodles of commercial property in the United States. What's their collateral? The treasury bond was their collateral. They used it. They deposited like $10 billion in Wells Fargo, and they borrowed $100 billion. And that was enough for buying for a year or more. Then they put another $10 billion in. And then they used $100 billion to go out shopping still more. And I think they went shopping internationally based on that Wells Fargo conduit. So the Chinese are going to have insufficient collateral because they used the treasury bond, the supposedly never threatened AAA pristine collateral. If that gets downgraded, then everybody has to buy more. Okay. What Euro Raj, my colleague, said to me was, it was in a nice little email with some summary items so that I could understand it and a few others in my group could understand it. It was several emails, and I'll try to summarize.
Okay.
But you're going to have all kinds of buying of treasuries because they have insufficient collateral. The entire yield curve collapses. The 10-year comes down in bond yield. The 5, the 2, and the 1-year come down. The curve collapses. So all those companies that rely upon a treasury yield differential, they just lost all their income. They get ruined. Are you getting this?
I'm trying to follow you, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I got you.
The treasury is going to have incredible demand from insufficient collateral that must be bolstered in order to continue in their operations for their financial function. Has to do with pensions, insurance, the Chinese property buying, everything.
Okay, so where does
and
it go?
It also includes the interest rate swap derivative. Okay,
okay.
It's everything.
Everything.
Everything that is involved in the financial bond market will see a hurricane of demand.
Absolutely.
Unless they stop the downgrade. Now, there's more to the downgrade. A downgrade is officially if two out of the three downgrade. And right now, S&P downgraded in 2000 and I think it was 9. And the S&P Standard & Poor's executive got his life threatened. So he had to resign. And I don't know if he's been heard of since he might have been murdered. Nobody knows. Okay, this is how things go. You cross the cabal, they cross you. Or, you know, they create some nightmare in your family. You can only imagine. Okay, if one of the other two, Fitch or Moody's, does a downgrade to AA+, we're going to see a nightmare in the bond market. We're going to see unbelievable chaos in the bond market.
Now, didn't Fitch already put the U.S. on a negative watch? I think I saw that.
Negative watch. I know, and that's what's raised a lot of this speculation. What happens if? And I'm telling you, if the U.S. treasury bond gets downgraded, then all the different places where it's used as collateral will get a phone call saying you need more collateral. Now, they don't have to do more treasury bonds, but it's the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
And there's a lot of supply.
How do we?
There's a
how
lot
do we get from that to the
of supply?
Okay, sure.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, okay, so how does that then take us into the reset?
By bringing the entire financial sector and the economy to a grinding halt.
Okay. Tell us what that looks like. I mean, paint us a picture.
I don't know what it looks like. You're asking someone who's never seen it before. I don't even know what it looks like for everybody to get a call saying you've got insufficient collateral for your bond structures, your financial structures. But Euroraj believes that the entire treasury yield curve will collapse and maybe everything goes close to 0%. 10-year, 5-year, 2-year, 1-year. What'll happen if everything goes close to 0%? Well, you know, this is really queer, but a rally in the treasuries like that could coincide with the BRICS nations dumping treasuries.
Mm-hmm. And that takes it from crisis to I don't even know what the right word is. If that happens simultaneously,
a conclusion of great mystery. Yeah.
We just don't know what that conclusion is going to look like. I mean, obviously, we could speculate about it all day long. We could talk about the QFS, the EBS. I mean, I would imagine under those circumstances that you'd probably be looking at some type of emergency scenario where the military might have to get involved, because if everything breaks down, it would seem to me that that's really been the whole point of this controlled demolition all along. If you subscribe to the theory, as I do, that the White Hats are sort of engineering this or pulling the strings covertly behind the scenes and have been for quite some time. What say you to that?
I think it's consistent with the resolution out of chaos. But then you've got a different major challenge. What do you do when you're at the zero point? All things stopped for bonds in the finance sector. All things stopped. You get a big rally, by the way, in the stock market. Interest rates come down and all the computers, not investors, all the computers go onto a buy pattern.
Yeah, well, the computers run Wall Street anyway.
That's what I'm saying. You get a big rally in the stock market because the computers will buy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know how it gets resolved, but you said the military comes in and installs order. Well, yeah, could be, but I don't know what day two looks like after that. I don't know. And you know, please pardon me for my lack of insight into a once in a millennium event.
Oh, no. I mean, I was just asking you more to speculate. I mean, no one has a crystal ball. We're just kind of batting ideas around.
This is so hard. Okay, remember, every 100 years, the global currency reserve gets thrown out and usually results in a world war, so that the ones with the biggest firepower can make the rules on day two, if you will, with a very long day one.
So it could go either way. I mean, we could be looking at a worldwide outbreak of war, or we could be looking at, hopefully, what all of us are hoping and praying for, which is military intervention by the White Hats. But one way or another, I mean, if the whole system comes to a grinding halt, something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
They can't keep it up any longer.
Patrick, it might be the moment for Team Trump to arrive on stage and say, okay, you cabal globalists, you've had your chance. We see where you've taken us. This is all well and good. We're all at 0 point here. We'll be taking over from here. And by the way, you 780 people, you will be facing tribunal and hanging.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect time for mass arrest, if you ask me.
But it's also a perfect time to bring to the table the long list of seized elite assets and bring to the table the recovered gold troves. I've heard $20, $25 trillion in seized assets. I've heard easily 100,000, maybe 200,000 tons of gold. Now, remember, 100,000 tons of gold is 12 Fort Knoxes. So they're talking about 12 to 25 Fort Knoxes. That could be enough to jumpstart a new financial system with a proper, legitimate, hard asset backing. But none of this will happen unless the Biden show characters are thrown off the movie set. And I don't use that term loosely. I don't mean it like in a pejorative sense. I mean it in a literal sense.
Yeah, it's quite literal. Yeah, absolutely.
It
Did you see
TV
Biden walk
show.
On stage the other day at the Air Force graduation and walk right past the podium? And you know, it was just absolutely hysterical. I mean, it's tragic at this point, but it, I mean, so much of this stuff is so ludicrous, you have to laugh. And then of course he fell over again. It didn't even look like he was actually falling. It looked like the guy was trying to fall. The whole thing looked scripted.
I think it's
just ludicrous.
Scripted act. I saw another picture where he was on a podium and he slipped and fell and ripped his pants and a big diaper showed. And the caption said the U.S. government taxpayers are paying for diapers on the Biden show. Okay, Patrick, I think this is scripted. I have a picture in my May report that was posted a few days ago where it shows a mask and it's got a horrible display of wrinkles where they shouldn't be. I mean, like in the temple, everything is wrinkled and moving. So they're trying to scream at the American public.
Wake the hell up.
Have you seen enough of this show? Are you waking up yet? To the dumbest in the crowd, what do we need to display for you to wake up?
Because honestly, I think some of these people aren't going to wake up unless there's just a Scooby-Doo ending where they rip the mask off his face. Or, you know, the mainstream media starts telling the truth, one or the other. I mean, but I'll tell you, because, I mean, some of my loved ones, they fall into that category. I showed them the picture of Biden scratching his neck and, you know, the whole rubber mask moving. I mean, it's you literally just can't not see it. And they still say that it's fake.
You cannot convince people that they've been deceived for this long.
That's right.
Mark Twain said it. Mark Twain said it. It's easier to fool someone than convince them they've been fooled. Once
That's
they
exactly
get fooled,
right.
The longer the time passes, the more difficult it is for them to get fooled, unless they experience like a Jamie Foxx moment.
Mm-hmm.
The actor
Jamie
Foxx.
Yeah, that's a big story. Yeah.
He's now blind and paralyzed, and I do not think he's going to take it lying down if he can talk. They might give him other injections so that he cannot talk. That's how ugly
Absolutely.
These people are. Okay, yeah. I think this is scripted. I think they are managing the vector of the Biden show. Notice the revelations of treason and documents and evidence. It's not just Biden. It's not just now Hunter. It's the entire family involved with treasonous acts having to do with Ukraine and China.
I think we're
on multiple vectors, Patrick, and they're all pointing. It's amazing. They're like six or eight that I've identified. They're all pointing to the next 2 or 3 or 4 months for
I agree.
A conclusion. Okay, that's a good place to close. I don't have a lot of time right now. Today's
sure.
Sunday, and I wanted to make time. We didn't close properly, and this is a nice way of closing. And I thank you for your gracious ways to allow me to close. Can I make a pitch?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wrap it up for us, Jim. I appreciate it.
Okay. My website is golden-jackass.com. In April, which was over a month ago now, I had my 19th anniversary. So I'm now working on my 20th year. I'm no longer a kid. I'm no longer like a young stud, 54-year-old kid starting a newsletter, hoping for the best. I'm a Social Security collecting elderly who's got a tremendous amount of energy and wits. I don't know how it all retained, but my memory is not slipped at all. My ability to retain information, not at all. My ability to coordinate and collate arguments, bring to the fore, tying things together, has not slipped at all. I invite you to come, join the newsletter, sign up, support me. If you're very wealthy and you want to support my entire mission, hit the sponsor button. I've had that hit a few times in the last month, and it brings a tremendous smile. Sometimes I just fall to my knees. I've done that a few times. I don't always remember. Sometimes I just get so excited. I just walk around the apartment and look out at the birds and grab some orange juice and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. The newsletter is my flagship. I do consulting calls. I did one yesterday. I got one later today. They're a lot of fun. They're interesting. They have a lot in common. They're trying to preserve their life savings. They want to know what's going on with these banks. They want to know what's going on. Is the dollar and it going to die out and it just disappear? They want to know, is the treasury bond in default? They want to know, is the U.S. government really in default? I got news for you. We're already $400 billion over the debt limit before they made a debt limit compromise, and the compromise did not involve a limit. Okay, we are opening the door for unlimited Ponzi. This is very dangerous. Okay, I've got a lot of out-of-the-box thought patterns that are brought to the page in the newsletter, and it's amazing how many come true. My correct forecast rate is over 90% for the big ones that I make a commitment for. I did get carried away a little bit a year ago. I said the Ukraine war was over. What I should have said was the decisive nature and outcome of this war is over.
Yeah, this the real battles have been determined.
The outcome had been determined. The battles are yet to continue. And when they do continue, it'll be really to deplete the NATO arsenal, which is an objective of the Russian military. And they're not the bad guys.
Totally.
They're cleaning out the money laundering centers for child trafficking, narco trafficking, bio labs, you name it, whatever's trafficked. I think half of the
trafficking, it's clear as day to see what the Russians are doing over there. And it's clearly it's in the interest of humanity.
Not to the normies.
Not to the normies, no. But I mean, I think
hopefully
for most patriots, they can see very clearly that the BRICS nations are doing God's work.
And you know, for every extra week or month that this Ukraine war drags out, of course, there are more unfortunate Ukrainian citizens who die like in the meat grinder against their will. Some of them shot in the back trying to escape, trying to desert. They're shot in the back, of course. But there's a good side to prolonging the war. It is to deplete the NATO arsenal.
Yep, absolutely. Well, folks,
it's not an unpatriotic thing to say.
No, because I agree.
They have been they against Russian warnings. They moved a depleted uranium cache outside of Kiev, and it got blown up in a city that I can't pronounce. It's a long name beginning with a K. Those names are really tongue twisters. But there's radiation and gamma radiation coming out of those stockpiles. I have good word, Patriot, that they're not just depleted uranium depots. They're chemical weapon depots.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sign up for the newsletter, golden-jackass.com. Thanks for having me on. I love the support that I get from your show and your fans, your followers. And
well, they love you. They love you.
I wish.
And
people,
I just want to go ahead.
Good. No.
No, I was just going to say, folks, I mean, I just know that everyone out there really loves Jim. I mean, every time I have you on, one of the top comments is more Jim Willie, please. I mean, immediately after I have you on, they want you back. So, you know, if you want Jim to stay in the game, and certainly he's committed to doing so, you got to go to golden-jackass.com. Bare minimum, sign up for the newsletter, support Jim. I happen to know behind the scenes, he's struggling with a lot of stuff. We talked about it, you know, privately, and he's going through an awful lot of financial turmoil and amidst many, many other things as well. So it's very important, folks, that just to emphasize, I want to emphasize that to the audience. Just please go and check out his website. I mean, first of all, you're getting the best financial forecasting information you're going to find in the world. Jim Willie is known. He's an expert. You already know that. That's why you're tuning in. But it's important, and I think it's incumbent upon the Patriot community to support the people that are bringing us such high quality information, analysis, and intel. And we all know that Jim Willey is right on the top of that list. So I just want to emphasize that as well before we close, Jim.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to mention two guys that I learned from who are not on my colleague group, Manorino. They're in a higher class. I do the best I can. I learn from them. I get a lot of help from my colleagues. And you know who you are. You 50 client friends. I call them buddies, client buddies. They're on my buddy list. They send me stuff every single day, every single week. Every single day, every single week. And I'm overwhelmed with information. I'm doing the best I can. I wish I could clone myself to do the accounting and all the other scut tasks, office tasks, but I have to do them, and I get a little behind once in a while. Anyways, golden-jackass.com, sign up for the newsletter, support my
Absolutely.
Work. And, you know, you don't have to read every report front to back. That's not a requirement. I've got a number of clients who say, Jim, I feel bad. I don't read the whole thing, but I do read two or three chapters that always catch my interest. Well, fine. You know, if you get the New York Times, back when it used to be a newspaper, not a fascist rag, back, you know, 40 years ago, you get the New York Times and you'd read three or four sections and the rest you recycled or you put at the bottom of your birdcage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obligatory to read the whole thing. I try to cover as much as I can. And I always leave something out because I just don't have time, don't have space. But golden-jackass.com. And just remember,
you bring it to life, Jim, like nobody. I mean, this is really material that it's tough to make really interesting and lively and exciting. And you, not only do you have the great amount of knowledge, you have the ability to make it entertaining and exciting. And I think that's what folks really love. And again, you know, this is just something, it's an area where I think, you know, folks can really step up and support the people that ultimately we're relying on to give us the truth. It's not just simply about going out and getting information. It's about getting the right information. And Jim's track record speaks for itself.
Keep in mind, Catherine Austin Fitz was poisoned 4 times. Okay. I've had lesser attacks about 25 times. Okay, just keep that in mind. Yep. She
Absolutely.
Is in a higher league, higher access, and higher level attacks. I'm in a lower league, lower level of risk, but more frequent attacks. And you know, I feel like someday writing a special report just about the attacks and the costs. That's it's an idea. I haven't really done it yet. I haven't even taken notes, but I'm going through a lot. I'm not quite what Catherine Fitz has gone through. We've talked a couple of times. It's just astonishing what they've done to her. Okay. Thanks for having me on. Have a nice Sunday.
Absolutely.
Bye now. Bye now.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another report. Make sure you check out the links in the description. Support Jim's work. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.